Well, good morning. Today I'm continuing in our WWJD question mark series. Let's say it together. What would Jesus do? Who knows that if you're a Christ follower, that should be a question that we ask all the time when we're having to make especially big decisions, but sometimes smaller decisions. What would Jesus do? And to answer that, we can look back to see what Jesus did. And so in week one, we talked about how Jesus would love first, what I would call leading with love. You're never going to do wrong if you lead with love. And then in week two, we talked about he would tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help him, God. He is God, right? So help us, God, that we do the same thing. Last week, I talked about how he always forgives. Always. Even the ones that were killing him, he forgave them. That's hard. That's hard. Sometimes it's hard to forgive our friends and family, but it's really hard to forgive our enemies, right? And then today, I'm going to pick back up with part four. He would obey the Father. Obey. Obey, for there is no other way. What's the... Huh? Trust and obey, for there's no other way. So we're going to talk about obeying God's voice or obeying God's word. I think you would agree with me that that's pretty much the predominant theme from Genesis to Revelation is obeying God and doing what God tells us to do. Today I'm going to share a classic story about a guy who didn't do that. And we can learn some lessons from him, so we don't have to learn them for ourselves, right? We're going to see the consequences that come when we don't obey and the rewards that come when we do. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Would you help us be better at obeying you in every matter, whether it's hard or easy, whether we like it or not. Would you help us to be disciplined in our obedience? It's a mark of a Christ follower. It's a mark of a person that lives with faith, lives by faith. And so help us obey. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to... So go to Matthew 7 and put a marker there. But I'm going to start in Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. That's where I'm going to start, and then I'll end up with Matthew chapter 7. But we're talking about obeying God, obeying His word. In Hebrews 11, there's a list of Old Testament saints, men and women who had the opportunity to prove their faithfulness to God by their obedience, and they're listed in chapter 11. Today's story is about a guy who didn't make that list. He didn't make the cut. And I'm just wondering how many of us, if we were put to the same test, would we make the cut on living an obedient life? Jonah was an Old Testament prophet who was given a command, an order to go share his faith about God. God actually sent him to an unbelieving city full of wickedness. He sent Jonah there to tell them that they better turn or they're going to burn, right? He had a tough message to deliver, and he didn't want to do it, and so he didn't. I start with verse 1, Jonah 1, verse 1. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai: get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was not great because of its goodness. It was great because of its size. It was an enormous metropolitan area. He says, announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are. Very similar to what we would read in Genesis 19 about Sodom and Gomorrah. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. You ever done that? You ever just disobeyed God and say, I don't want anything to do with you right now? And we kind of go in our own direction. That's what Jonah did. In fact, I got a map and my trusty little pointer, if I know how to work it. So he starts here, and God says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, 550 miles away north. Jonah goes here to Tarshish, 2,500 miles in the other direction. God was not happy with Jonah's disobedience. He believed that Jonah was the guy to do it. Jonah didn't believe he was. He had a different opinion. He had a different view. And so he didn't agree with what God was calling him to do. And so he chose not to do it. You ever done that? You ever, God's told you to do something, or maybe he's told you to stop doing something, and you just stiff-armed it. You weren't ready. You didn't agree. You didn't think it was a big deal. And so you stiff-armed it, and if you were honest, you would say, I disobeyed God, or I'm living in some form at some level of disobedience in my life right now. Let's keep reading. Verse 4. The Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm. Notice it says the Lord did that. It wasn't the devil that sent the storm. It was the Lord that sent the storm. And he sent a violent storm. It sounds to me like he's trying to get somebody's attention. Who knows that God will send storms in your life to get your attention? It's not always the devil. This violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship, including Jonah. As a result of disobedience, God sent a storm to get Jonah's attention. He got everybody's attention, didn't he? When that happens, when a storm comes into our life, we shouldn't always ask, why is this happening? We might ask, God, what are you trying to teach me? What have I, am I out of alignment with you? Is there something you're trying to teach me through this storm that I'm in? Just don't stiff-arm the storm. If there's a lesson to be learned in the storm, ask God to show you the lesson or to stop the storm. Later down in verse 17, it says, and the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah. This was part of God's plan. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. And while Jonah was in there, I don't have time to read the whole story. You can go back and read it today. But while Jonah was in there, in a sense, he came to his senses. He realized he wasn't in a good place. He realized he missed the turn. And sometimes when we are in that situation, the best thing you can do is to stop and to retrace your steps and try to figure out, where did I get off track? If you came to a fork in the road, maybe you took a wrong turn, retrack your steps. Lord, did I miss you here? We don't have perfect hearing. We're going to miss God from time to time. And when you find yourself wandering out away, you might just ask the question, God, did I miss you? Are you trying to show me something by these circumstances that are in? And humble yourself, position yourself in a humble state, and ask the Lord to speak to you, to talk to you. Now, if we look at Jonah chapter 3, then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Who likes it when God gives us second chances? He says, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Notice he didn't change the plan. And deliver the message I have given you. This time Jonah obeyed. Yeah, I bet. This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh. I love the fact that he gives us second chances. Now listen, don't get me wrong. He prefers first-time obedience. First-time obedience. Teach your children first-time obedience. And reward them accordingly. And let them know that when I obey the first time, and mommy doesn't have to count to 2.95 before she gets to 3 or whatever. You know the game we play with our kids. That's not really helpful because God normally doesn't give us till 3. Sometimes if we disobey God, it could take our life. So God's really serious about obey me and obey me the first time. And if you don't, there'll probably be some consequences, and I'll give you some grace to get it right eventually. Who in here knows from your story that that's the way God is? He wants us to obey the first time. And he'll give us other chances, but it seems like it's always harder when we try to do it that way. Jonah ended up preaching to the Ninevites. They believed in God. They turned from their wicked ways, and God spared them by extending them mercy and grace. Now catch this. Jonah was not happy about that, because he didn't think they deserved God's grace. I wonder how many Christians are like that. I hope none in Generations Church. I hope you don't have the attitude that I'm not sharing the faith with so-and-so because they don't deserve to be saved after what they've done to me. That's not godly thinking, okay? Which is why we need to always forgive. We need to always tell the truth. We need to lead with love. Now turn to Matthew chapter 7. Oh, hold on. Did I skip verse 10? I think I skipped a verse. So Jonah chapter 3, verse 10 says, when God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind. I've heard some people say, God never changes his mind. He's the same way yesterday. There's a truth in there, but God can change his mind if he wants to. It says he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. God had threatened them that he was going to wipe them out if they didn't change. And they changed. God changed his mind. Amen. And then if you keep reading, Jonah throws another pity party and God helps him through that. But the point I wanted to make here, since we're talking about obedience, is God wants us to obey the first time. And there are probably going to be consequences when we don't. And usually the consequences are not good. But he also gives us second chances to get it right eventually, so we'll quit making the same bad decisions. Amen? Now let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said something kind of like this in his first public sermon. Matthew 7 verse 24 says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. In other words, whoever hears what I say and obeys is wise. Like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand. And when the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. That's a simple illustration that Jesus shares with his followers to let them know that obeying God is like building your house on solid ground. It'll stand the test of time. And disobeying God will give you just the opposite results. And so in the time I have left, I wrote down six reasons why obeying God is important. Reason number one is Jesus said it was. What would Jesus do? He would obey the Father always. He's the perfect example of obeying God, even if it's about something that's not going to benefit you. If I take you back to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus knew he was going to have to go to the cross, and he asked, Lord, is there any other way? Like, this would be a great time to change your mind. And then before God could answer, he caught himself. He says, yet not my will, but your will be done. Amen? Obeying God was his highest priority. And as disciples of Christ, it should be our high priority is to have that constant attitude, not my will, but your will be done. Even when his will is hard, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's inconvenient, even when it's costly. Listen, obedience is a hallmark of the Christian faith. Our obedience is proof that we've made Jesus our Lord. Some of us, we have him as our Savior, as something he's done for us. Not everybody's made him Lord. And when you make him Lord, that means you're going to walk in obedience to him because you've recognized him as your Lord and your Master. If you haven't recognized him as that and just your lifesaver, then obedience probably is a bigger challenge. Number two, obedience is an act of worship. It's an act of worship. Now, we're not saved because of our obedience, but obedience should be a fruit of our salvation. When you see somebody always stiff-arming God and not wanting to do, you know, you might have a little question mark, a little check in your spirit. But somebody that's always obeying God, and you know, you watch them obey God in tough situations, you're going, golly, that's pretty good fruit. But they have faith in God, and they're willing to obey even when it's hard. Amen? We should obey God as an act of worship to say thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for saving me from eternal destruction because of my sinfulness. And in return, as an act of worship, I'm going to obey you. It's a great way to say thank you. It's a great way to say I love you. I love what Paul writes in Romans 12:1. He says, brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, our bodies, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Listen, when you don't obey God, who are you worshiping? Yourself? Maybe some idol? I don't know. But it's hard to worship God and then disobey. It's hard to have disobedience, living in disobedience, and have a heart to worship, right? There's a contradiction, though. There's a conflict there. Number three, obedience is an act of stewardship. And who knows, you can be a good steward or you can be a poor steward or a bad steward, right? When we hear God's voice and ignore it, are we being a good steward? No. When we hear his voice and obey it, are we being a good steward? Yeah. Remember the parable of the talents. And two out of the three did something good with what God had given them. And the third one didn't, and he missed out, right? He didn't get any reward at all. The other two, even though they were different amounts, they both were rewarded likewise because they had done what God had asked them to do. They walked in obedience. I'm wondering if us listening and obeying works the same way. That if we listen and obey, God says, oh, I can trust them, and he'll speak to you more. I mean, we're that way with people. I'm not going to go to them again. Every time I go to them, they don't really pay attention and do anything I ask them to do. Right? And so you don't go to that person anymore. I wonder if God's that way with us. Well, they always ask, and then I answer, but they never do what I tell them. So maybe I'm going to spend more time over here with people that listen and obey. I don't know. I'm just, if I was God, I'd be a pretty bad God. But I'm just saying, I'm thinking in human terms. We're made in the image of God, so maybe God has a little bit. I don't know. Are you a good steward when it comes to obeying God? Jesus said this in Mark chapter 4, verse 24. Pay attention to what you hear, because with the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. I wonder if God's looking to see if we're eager to hear and obey. We're eager to hear what God has to say, but what if he says something we don't like? We still need to obey, correct? Number four, obedience shows our faith in God. John writes in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, by this we know that we have come to know him if, say that word with me, if, it's like the word but, it's a small word that has significant meaning, if we what? Keep his commandments. By this we know that we have come to know him, that we've come to faith, that we put our trust in him, if we keep his commandments, if we obey. You could say that. It says, by this, what is this? Keeping his commandments. By keeping his commandments, we know that we have come to know him. Could the reverse be true? If we don't obey him, maybe we haven't put our trust in him. It's a good question to ask yourself. I shared my story last week. I won't share it again, but when God first called me, I stiff-armed the call into ministry for my own selfish reasons. And so people are prone to do that. But you never go wrong when you say yes. I eventually said yes. I was kind of like Jonah. I said no, and then I finally said yes. And he blessed me after I said yes. Right? Just know that whenever you get out of alignment, you can always get back into alignment. And when you do, usually good things happen. When you stay out of alignment, usually good things don't happen. So you can never go wrong when you say yes to God and what he's calling you to do. Number five, obedience proves our love for God. It proves our love. It shows our love. I'm not saying you don't love God if you don't do it. I'm just saying if you'll do it this way, it shows that you love God. Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Peter, are you sure? Yes, Lord. Yes. Then do what I say. So you're telling me if I don't do what you say, I don't love you? No, I'm just saying, if you love me, you'll do what I say. I mean, that's like, what would Jesus do? Right? Don't say you love Jesus if you're not obeying, because you really don't love him that much. Just be honest and deal with that, okay? But don't deceive yourselves and think that you're okay when maybe you're not okay. Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will. Not you might or you maybe. You might think about it. Good idea. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Loving God means keeping his. In fact, in the New Living Translation, it just comes out real simple and says, loving God means keeping his commandments. Don't say you love God if you're not keeping his commandments. Now, that's big picture. Okay. What about in the little small areas where we're living in God's will, but you know we're going to have these little micro moments of disobedience and whatnot? Confess it as disobedience, repent of it, and be intentional not to keep repeating it. And just do that day by day by day, and I think you'll be okay. Hey, that rhymed. I like that. And then number six, God rewards obedience. God rewards obedience. We see this with God and Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have, what? Obeyed me. Abraham did what was really hard back in the day. He had really no precedent. To follow God. And so he had to discern whether this was God talking, and if it was, am I going to obey or not? And Abraham did, and God said, I'm going to bless you. He chose to bless God. It's like the tithe. You know, a lot of people say, well, we're not required to tithe because we're not under the law anymore. Listen, Abraham tithed before the law was even on the scene. Abraham tithed because he wanted to give something back to God that was tangible, to say, thank you for putting your trust in me. And then God blesses you and he says, well, thank you for trusting me and obeying me. Obeying is a good way to say thank you, God, for what you've done for me. Amen? We see it with the Israelites in Exodus chapter 19. Now, if you will obey me, if, because it's conditional, if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples on earth, for all the earth belongs to me. But notice the obedience was contingent upon whether God was going to bless them or not. And then in the New Testament, Jesus said this, blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice. Blessed are all who hear the word of God or read the word of God or listen to the word of God and put it into practice. In other words, hear and obey. Hear and obey. I like James. I mean, James kind of sums it up. One of my favorites. James 1, verse 22. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away and forget what you look like. But if you put a WWJD bracelet on your hand as a reminder, But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, that's the word of God, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. One of the reasons we pass out notes on the back side of your announcements is a place of notes so you can take notes and help remember what you heard today. Because most people will forget what I'm saying in about 72 hours, if that long. So I work 2 days for y'all to forget in 3 days. That can be taxing sometimes. So I said, well, maybe if they write it down, maybe if they fill in the blanks, maybe if they're taking notes, maybe they'll remember. I don't know. In other words, don't just hear what God's word says, obey. You'll notice most Sundays when I start a message, I'll say, Lord, help us to have ears to hear and what? A heart that will want to obey. Because otherwise you're wasting your time. And usually I'll give you some ways to go live it out so you can obey. Here are some ways we can obey what we heard today. Very simple, very easy. Okay? But we have a will and we can either choose to do that. So let me ask you, what do you hear God saying to you today? One word. Huh?
Obey.
Johnny, you got it. When you go home and your parents ask you, what did you learn in church today? What are you going to tell them?
Obey.
We learn to obey, that we're blessed when we obey, and we probably won't be if we don't. So, Mom and Dad, how can I obey you today so it goes well with my soul? Father, ask the Father, Father, what do you need me to do today? What are some areas you want me to obey you in today that maybe I've been stiff-arming you? Maybe I've been ignoring you. Maybe I've been avoiding someone. And you know that you know that you know that God's spoken to you about something, but you hadn't followed through with it. Would you just continue to wrestle with him until he has his way with you? Not the other way around. Is there something he's calling you to or calling you to do that you haven't done yet? He's been asking you in a certain area. Maybe it's an area of finances. Maybe it's a relationship area. Maybe it's a spiritual area, whatever it is. He's been speaking to you, but you've not been responding or obeying, right? And I want to encourage you, quit putting God off. Things never get better when you stiff-arm God. No. I have plenty of personal experience, right? And it helps me not to stiff-arm him again because of what I've learned from past times. It helps me not to stiff-arm him again when he tells me to do something that I don't really feel like doing or it's hard to do. Sometimes doing the right thing is hard to do, but it's always the right thing to do. And we just have to trust God in that. Or maybe he's put someone on your heart to pray for or to share your faith with, and you've avoided that. You know, somebody's eternal well-being could be hinged on your obedience. Now, I think that way because it helps spur me to action, right? And so, like Jonah, would you come to your senses and obey God in whatever that is? And unlike Jonah, would you do it with a good attitude? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your message today. We're all in this together. Lord, help us to be better at obeying your word and obeying your voice with a good attitude. Holy Spirit, we can't do it in our own strength. We can only do it with your help and your guidance and your intervention. But thank you for showing us what the plumb line is so we have a chance at getting it right. And if you're here today or watching online and you've never obeyed the Holy Spirit by putting your trust in Jesus Christ and you're thinking, you know, I've been stiff-arming that too, and maybe today's the day where you're saying, yeah, I'm going to show God that I can obey. If that's you, if you've been stiff-arming Jesus, because you didn't want to give up your freedom. You didn't want to necessarily give up your right to be boss of your life, to be the one in control, sitting on the throne. It takes humility to get off your throne and let Jesus sit on it. Not my way, but His way, right? Not my way, but Yahweh. If that's you, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Actually, I'll pray with you. You've not fully put your trust in Jesus, and you're thinking, you know what? I'm ready to do that. Or maybe it's committing your service to a church, you know, getting plugged into a local church, right? I've talked to some people, they come and they don't get plugged in because they don't want to have to be, they don't want to have to do anything. They don't want to be obligated or responsible to do anything. Can I just say that's a holy chicken? That's not a Holy Spirit? That's not right. That's not right for you to come and partake when everybody else is giving and you're not, right? Jesus said, I've come to serve, not to be served. And so if you're stiff-arming serving, would you reconsider and say, Lord, if you're calling me to serve, I'm going to say yes, and I'm going to do it with a good attitude, and I'm going to look forward to the blessings that come from it, from my obedience. Father, thank you for speaking to us today. And I pray that we would obey you in every area, no matter what. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Let's stand and let's obey the Holy Spirit and let's give God the worship He deserves. I love you and I'll see you next Sunday.